In 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning, God gave me two messages this week, and I was struggling between which one to do this morning, because they both just seemed good, and I just wanted to do them both at the same time, and you know, that would be very complicated. I don't even think I'm that good. So, but this is I think this one will relate to people quite well. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16 is where we're gonna begin today. Before I'm gonna open up in prayer, dear Lord, I just want to ask that you'd be with the message this morning. I want to thank you for songs that talk about heaven. I want to thank you for songs that remind us of you. And Lord, I'm just glad that I can serve you this morning. And I ask that you would just touch our hearts and our minds, help us to think on good things, think good thoughts about you and what you've done to our lives and how you've changed us. Because there's so many in this world that they're confused, they're mixed up, they just don't get it. Lord, help us to be able to understand so that we can better be witnesses for your honor, for your glory. Would you give us faith as we go through each and every day to be able to see what the needs of people are out there, and help us to see our own needs, and just guide us by your Spirit. Bless the message. Give me the words to speak. May they not be my own, but Lord, let me just be able to serve you this morning by presenting your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we get to 1 Kings chapter 17, and you know, I think it was last week, we were talking about Elijah, and how God had told him to go and tell Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Until you give the word, it's not going to rain. So Elijah, he goes and tell Ahab, and then God says, all right, Elijah, go over there to this brook, and I'm going to take care of you. You drink from the brook, and whenever it's time for dinner, I'm going to have a raven come by and, you know, drop you off something to eat. And for breakfast, I'm going to have a raven come by and bring you something to eat. I'm going to have the fowl of the air take care of you. Now, if you can imagine, that takes quite a bit of faith, right? To say, I am just going to go live down by the St. Francis River and let God just sustain me. Well, as full as what the St. Francis looks like today, it won't be very long into the summer that it'll look like it's almost dry, won't it? Can you imagine 3.5 years of no rain? It'll look like the Texas rivers out in West Texas. I was surprised one day. I went over the Rio Grande. I don't know if you ever watched Westerns, but man, they make it look like the mighty Mississippi out there. We drove over it, and I'm telling you, I've driven over wood bridges that cross bigger rivers. And it was just a little trickle down there. The Rio Grande. Well, in Israel, that's what rivers look like. And this is a brook. It didn't last very long. And God said, Elijah, the brook's dry. I want you to go see this widow woman up in this little town called Zarephath. It belongs to Zidon. Or Sidon is, if you ever look on a map of Israel, and I didn't pull it up for you, but if you look up on the map of Israel, you go north, you get to Dan, and then you take a hard left, and you head towards the Mediterranean Sea, and right before you jump in the sea, you stop, and you're about at Zarephath. So I don't know if you ever want to follow those directions one day, but that's about where it is. So Elijah's thinking, oh, God's hooking me up. This widow woman, I bet she's loaded. I bet she's loaded. You know, she's got a big house to live in. She's going to be able to take care of me. I'm going to get steak every night. I don't know if that's what he was thinking or not. But he got up there to Zarephath, and he sees this lady out there. And she's not old. She's got a little kid. Maybe he's 10 years old. We don't know. He's a young kid. And she's out picking up sticks. And he sees her. And God said, I've commanded this woman to take care of you. Well, I don't know. Sometimes about God's commands that we don't know he's told us to do it until we get there. And he sees this woman picking up sticks. And he asks her, would you bring me something to eat? Would you bring me a morsel of bread? And she tells him, I don't have a cake at my house. In fact, all I've got is a handful of meal. Are you any of you bakers? You ever make some biscuits? It takes more than a handful of meal, doesn't it, to make some biscuits? Can you even make one biscuit with a handful of meal? I don't know if you can or not. I'm not a baker. But that's all she had was a handful of meal. And she tells the prophet, I don't have a cake. All I've got is a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And I'm basically going to make a biscuit between me and my son. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah tells her, he says, I understand. Go and do what you're saying, except first, make it for me, and then make it for your son and yourself. Because here's what the word of the Lord says. Look with me. Back in chapter 17, he says, For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, if some strange guy just shows up and you're down to the last thing that you have to eat and he says, bring it to me first and then take care of you and your son, what would be your reaction? Would you say, guy, those are nice shoes that you got. Keep walking. Take a hike. I'm not taking care of you. I can't even take care of myself. But there was something a little bit more special about this person. I don't know if she had just said, you know, it doesn't matter, I'm going to die anyway. It doesn't tell us that. It just says in verse 15 that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah and said, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit in this. If you know the story of Elijah, he's prone to depression. If there is a man of God in the world that ever needed a friend, it was Elijah. He just thought that, you know, he's the only one serving God out there, that there's no one else. We know that Elijah. We're going to talk about him probably in a few weeks. God's building some messages up to him, I believe. And Elijah, he needs a friend. And this widow woman needed a friend. And I think God was doing something twofold. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand how God is working in our life. But God's working on both ends at the same time. He's seeing faithful men of God and faithful women of God. And he says, I want them to work together. I want them to grow in the Lord. You know, I find it interesting. You know, every time we go out, and I learn something more about what's going on in this world and how fallen it is, that people say that they're saved and they never go to church. You know, and we talked about it a little bit Wednesday night, and I know the kids have too. Maybe this is something that God's moving on my heart. When people say, I accept Jesus, but I don't like none of you guys, do you realize that all of you guys and gals, you're the body of Christ? So when you say, I'm a Christian, but I don't like the body, there's something wrong with your Christian. There's something that's a problem. And we should want to assemble together. We should want to be around Christ's body of believers. And I don't understand how we can how so many people can say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't have time for those hypocrites down there at the church. You know, that's a hypocritical statement to even say that. And there's something wrong with it when we say, I accept Jesus, but I don't accept his body. Do you realize that's communion? That's communion. Where you don't want to be around God's body? You don't want to be a part of it? That there's a problem. God wants us. He understands that people need others. I need you. You need me. We're supposed to be feeding off of each other. We're supposed to be iron that's sharpening iron. That's exactly what Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so no man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. God wants us to help each other to live the right way. Elijah, you need help. Widow at Zarephath and young son, you need help. Why don't y'all help each other? You know, that's why we assemble together, so that we can help each other. You know, Romans 12 and verse 5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. We can't forget that. You know, when you decide, I'm just gonna stay home, I'm just gonna have church at my, from my computer screen. You know, that's a movement today. You know, and I wonder sometimes if we contribute to that by posting our messages online. It's not supposed to be for that, but people think, well, I can hear the best preacher in the world from my home computer. You sure can, but that's all that you're getting. You're getting a message from a guy on a computer. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how great you are in this world, you're nothing compared to Jesus Christ. And when you're separated from his body, you're missing out on the greatest part of being a part of God's body. You see, this building is not the church. It's a meeting place for the church, for God's people. It could be at a person's house. It could be anywhere. Hebrews 12 and or 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see, I wonder when those who refuse to come and be a part of the body of Christ, if they're missing something. If they're missing something in their belief system, and that something is, do you not understand that Jesus is coming back soon? Do you not understand what that last day looks like? Brother Comer just asked me if he'd gotten into part of my sermon. I think that's it right there, Brother Comer. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? If you're not assembling with the believers every time you get the chance, I understand work sometimes plays a part. But if you choose to say no to God's body, you're saying no to him. And I would want you to question yourself, where is your heart at today? Now, I understand I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning, but somebody's going to download this message. And I pray that God steps on their toes, because he's talking to that person who said, no, I would rather stay home than be a part of God's body today. Because we're not supposed to forsake it, especially as we see that day is approaching. If you can't see that the last day is approaching, I don't know what you need to get a new prescription for your glasses. Because it is just, the signs are everywhere. They're in the heavens. They're in the earth. The earth is groaning. We can see it in our culture. It just looks like we're on a free fall. You know what happens at the end of a free fall? A quick stop. That's when sudden death happens. And that's where it feels like that we're at. That we're falling. And we don't even know it. We think everything's just fine. But it's not just fine. And those who have called themselves believers, they have said, no, I'm not interested in that. I like Jesus and what he said. I like the songs about heaven, and I've got my ticket. I'm good to go. I'm telling you, that's wrong thinking. That there's something wrong there. Matthew 18 and 20 would say, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, for I am in the midst of them." You see, it doesn't matter how many are here. If you're here in the name of Jesus, and there's me, and there's just one of you, that's a church. That's a body of a believer. Now, that may mean that God has to give us all, you know, whenever you go through all the gifts and God starts distributing those out. Well, I guess if there's just two of you, that means you get like a triple portion of gifts, you know, so that you can make everything happen. You might like that. But God says, where there's two or three, I'm there. I'm a part of you guys. And I don't want you to forsake that. I don't want you to lose that part of being a Christian. I don't want you to misunderstand what a believer really is. A believer is not a believer unto himself, but he's a part of something bigger. And Elijah, you know, one of the greatest prophets we ever saw, God looked down and he said, "Elijah, you need somebody in your life to help you out. Widow woman, you need somebody in your life to help you out. Little kid, you need somebody in your life to help you out." And God made their paths cross. And they took care of each other. You know what? God wants to do that for us today too. But for us to be able to do that, that takes faith. That took faith on Elijah's part to say, I'm just gonna go up there and I'm gonna trust God that He's gonna put me in contact with this person. And he puts him in contact with this person who's poor. Who's really, it looks like she's got nothing to offer. Let me tell you, what little bit that you've got to offer can sustain life if you'll give it. If you'll give it with your whole heart, like she did. She had faith. And God blessed her for her small handful of meal and a small cruse of oil. And God blessed her. It took faith to do that. And that's what we got to do today. You know, while I was studying this morning, I had this thought about how the church looks today. And for some reason, Brother Comer came to my mind. You know, I saw him so many days out here mowing the yard. And I just started thinking, you know, if we put a fence around here and we threw about 10 sheep out there, those 10 sheep could probably do the same job as Brother Comer. Y'all think they could? Because, you know, when Brother Comer, I mean, try to picture this analogy. Every grass out there is like a person in the world. And every day that field gets bigger. It grows. There becomes more and more. And all we've got is we got Brother Comer. Just picture him as like, I don't know, like a church building. And the way it works, and y'all ever seen Brother Comer work on his lawnmower? I mean, it is a fine-tuned, oiled-up machine, ready to sling grass and whatever gets in the way. And you know, we have this picture that's how the church should run. Where it just goes through and it just starts chopping. And it's a well-lubed machine. And it looks like it's working. There's only one problem. One day that machine broke down. And he had to go get another one. He just got a bigger and a better one. But this is what I think the church is supposed to look like. I think it's supposed to look like a few sheep out there. Eating the grass, nibbling it, having more on it of a personal impact on those people that it chews up, not just chopping them up and spitting them out, but ingesting what's going on, even fertilizing a little along the way. And after a while, those sheep will make more sheep. It reproduces. You know, well-oiled machines break. But the sheep reproduce, and they make more sheep to go out into that field. You know, that's where we're at. The church is an organism. It's not supposed to be this well-oiled machine. God even calls us sheep. He doesn't call us lawnmowers. And He wants us to be out there having an impact. But, you know, Brother Comer could be that lone sheep on that lawnmower. And that grass just keeps growing back, and he just chops it up and slings it out. Doesn't really help the soil. Maybe even pollute the air every now and then, huh? Have an oil spill, that's kills the grass. Our job is to be more like sheep out there, having a personal impact on this world, reproducing, making more sheep. And if we see one walking down the road, we don't mind if they come in and join the herd, become a part of what God's moving. You know, that takes some faith on our part to do, just like it did Elijah and this widow woman. God's people must live by faith. Look at verse 13 and 14 with me. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, because God has said, the barrel of meal will not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." We've got to have confidence in God's word. We've got to have confidence in what God's plan is for us. Yeah, we're supposed to be making a difference. Having a personal impact on every person that we come in contact with. Yeah, they might not commit themselves to Jesus Christ, but you keep trying. Keep trying to make friends of this unrighteous mammon world and try to win them for Jesus Christ. Show them Christ's love. That takes faith. That takes putting your heart out there a little bit. Has your heart ever been crushed by somebody? Probably. Jesus' heart was crushed too by a personal friend. Somebody that had been with him for 3.5 years. His name was Judas. Betrayed him with a kiss. You know, I know it hurts. And you may be holding in. You're like, I don't know if I can put myself out there like that. It's time that we start functioning like a church. Like a real body of believers. Like we care about other people. Like we care about the lost. So that we can reach them. Romans 1 and 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, there comes a time in my life, in my Christian walk, that I have to live by faith. I can't live by a well-oiled machine. I have to look at the organic part of what God wants me to be in this world. How does He want me to affect society? How does He want me to affect my neighbors? He wants you to be a part. Not just a part of their life, but a part of each other in here too. So that you can sharpen each other. That we can encourage each other to be the witnesses that we so need to be in this world. We've got to live by faith. And I know it's hard sometimes. You know, I struggle with living by faith sometimes because I like a plan. I love God, just tell me what to do, how to do it, and I will do it. You know, just telling me to go, I need more than that. That's all you're getting right now. Go to Zarephath. And there's going to be a woman there who's going to take care of you. I've commanded her. And when I get there, it's not anything like I was expecting. And I just have to take it. You know, I'm going to give you a spoiler. Because Elijah obeyed, her son was given his life back. Her son will die. And the man of God will pray over him. And the widow woman will receive her dead back to life. You see, there's a bunch of people out there that need you to obey God, to have faith, to not be afraid to go off to Zarephath, some country. I don't know what's up there. I've never been there before, and I definitely don't know this person. That's a strange person over there. You want me to go talk to them? You want me to become a major part of their life? I don't know if I can do that. What if? Don't do what ifs with God, ever. If those are in your vocabulary, throw them out. They're sin, because that means that you're doubting God. You're doubting His ability to sustain you when you need it the most. And in fact, it might be if you say, well, what if, and you deny what God is telling you to do, that person over there isn't going to be able to be helped because you held back thinking, well, if I go over there, what if I get hurt? What if they break my heart? God says, I'm putting you there for a reason. Don't be so concerned about yourself. Let me take care of you. Because it may be that I'm going to use you to do so much greater to that person. Don't be afraid of whatever God asks you to do. Never say what if to God. Just say yes, Lord. Just say yes. And go and do whatever He has. Find those fellow believers and be a part of their life. God's people will honor God first. Look at verse 13 again. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Here's the test to her. Do you want God to take care of you? Trust Him first. Trust Him first. Do you have faith today? Has God asked you to do something? Has He told you to take a step? And you don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what's down there. You can't see it. So many times. I think in our Christian culture, that the aspect of faith is the thing that we do not operate on the most. Because we feel like we can do so much for our own self, and we don't operate off of faith. Nor do we say, well, I can give God my best first. I've got to make sure I take care of my stuff first before I give to God first. That's a failure. That means that you just messed up. Because God wants you to operate off of faith. And sometimes faith, every time, God wants you to live by faith. Think about Abraham. Abraham, how many times did God ask you to do something by faith? Well, He told me to leave my hometown and all my family. And when the drought came in Canaan, I didn't feel like I could take care of my family here, so I went to Egypt. Abraham, I didn't tell you to go to Egypt. Yeah, Egypt has got everything that you need to survive, but that's not where you're supposed to be. I need you to go back to Canaan. I need you to have faith, Abraham. I need you to have faith. That even though your body and your wife's body look like they're unable to have children, I need you to have faith that I can give you a seed. You see, we keep acting like Abraham. We want to help God out. Well, if I bring in this person's better. They can give They can give me what God's promise is. No, Abraham. I'm talking about you and Sarah, not Hagar. I'm not talking about Ishmael. I'm talking about one that you're going to name Isaac, your son. And it takes Abraham a long time to learn about faith. And I see that in my life. It takes a long time to really learn about faith and how to operate in it. And then one day God tells Abraham, take your son Isaac, your son whom thou lovest, take him up to this mountain and give him back to me. You know, at that point, Abraham had learned faith. And he didn't even hesitate. He just packed his bags, took Isaac, and they went. Because this is what Hebrews tells us about Abraham's faith at this point. That if he had sacrificed his son Isaac, that God would give him back, that he would raise him up from the dead. That's where Abraham's faith had grown to. So where is our faith today? Do we still have that faith? That, well, I kind of want to follow God, but you know, when times get tough, I'm running to the nearest civilization. Because I know that's where all my needs can be kept. I run back to the world in Egypt. Or do I maintain my focus? Say, this is where God wants me to be, and I must trust Him. I must forsake all, and I will trust Him right here where He sent me. I want you to do something this week. Today, before you forget, I want you to have a conversation with God about what your faith looks like. God, where's my faith at? What does my faith look like to you? Am I struggling? Do I struggle to assemble? Do I struggle to put what you want above what I feel like is my personal need first? Or do I feel like I'm number one? You know, that's what this world teaches. That you got to take care of yourself first. But God says, put me first. And all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Do we believe the Scripture? I hope we believe the Scripture. But I'm telling you, we struggle to act like it. We struggle to act like it. And it's time we start realizing, what kind of church member am I? Am I more like that? Or am I trying to function like that well-oiled machine? Or do I need to really start functioning more like a sheep? Start acting like that. The song leader and pianist will come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, would you help us today to understand how you want us to function in this world, how we can be a better church family, how we can start relating to each other and being a part of each other's lives the way that we need to be. How about how we function on faith? Do we try to grow faith in each other? Does my faith need to grow better? Where am I struggling at? Lord, would you show me? Would you help me to do like the psalmist did, where he said, Lord, you know, show any impure way inside of me. Would you clean me up the way that I need to be? Lord, help me to honor you the way that I need to honor you, putting you first in everything in my life, and not getting so caught up in this world. Lord, would you guide us in these thoughts? Help us, Lord, to grow in faith and to be the people of God that we need to be in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.